observation that we're all tired. And I can tell tonight we're all tired. But I want you to know that our tired services are more lively than some people's full services. I promise you. I was just sitting there thinking, there's so much spirit in here and everybody's dog tired. And I have been to churches where on Sunday morning everybody's, and it's much, our tired is better than some people's full, I promise you. Isn't that great to be a part of an on fire church? And we know how to have church even when we're all tired. Well, we ought to be tired because we worked last week. Amen. And I'll tell you, I felt better when Jonathan and Regina, Sunday afternoon, they told us, they were like, oh my God, we just dropped dead. And I said, well, if y'all are that tired at 32, I feel better. You know, I'm 46, you know, 45. Amen. So, but it's a work. Amen. Jesus had to rest himself. And we didn't have church Sunday night, so we had a chance to rest. I have a testimony. I've got some extra time tonight. We're actually going to start next Wednesday night a new series on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know what the pastor would like to call it. I have a suggestion. I'd like to call it juicy fruit, but you don't have to do that. You know that little chewing gum juicy fruit? Well, that's really what God wants from us, some juicy fruit. Amen. I've been eating a lot of fruit. My diet, I've been careful about my diet and high blood pressure and things like that. So I've been eating a lot of oranges and the juicier it is. I went to preach for Michael Hart back in February, and I'd been getting these little oranges in the bag, and they were about this small. And when I walked into the hotel room, he had like four or five huge oranges. I said, brother, where'd you get those oranges from? He said, I'm from Food Line. And so I told Darnell, I said, don't get me no little orange. Give me some juicy fruit. Amen. But God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. I'm not going to try to do it from memory because I know I'm going to miss one of them. But we're going to start that next Wednesday night. But I have a testimony, and I'm just going to preach a little bit tied to Easter. I know Easter is over, but really for believers, Easter is never over. Amen. But I went, as you know, I work at Best Buy, and so we don't make commission, but I wish we did, glory to God. But we do have to have certain productivity. We have to sell a certain amount every month. They set a goal. And so if you miss a month or two, no big deal. But I had missed November. Okay. I missed December. I hadn't missed any of the other months. Missed December. Then I missed January. Well, January is a slow month. You know, everybody knows that's slow. Well, then I missed February. And so that was 4 months in a row that I didn't hit the numbers. And the fifth month, if I had not made it in March, then I was going to be put on a action plan. And, you know, that's never good. And really, it's a short way of action to get you out. Amen. So I thought, Lord, have mercy, you know. And I really struggled because, you know, I'm paying my tithes. I'm in covenant with God. And so I'll tell you, I just began to do a lot of soul searching because when I see people out here, and nothing against other people, but when I see rank sinners who don't ever go to church, who don't pay a dollar in tithe, when I see them getting the big sales and I just missed it, I'm not begrudging that they got it, but I'm a child of God. Amen. And I'm blessed and highly favored. And so sometimes these things are for trial. So I began to, and it got down to March, to the last 2 days of March, and it was do or die. And the last day of March was a Saturday. I got up, and I had to make that day and then some. It was the last day, or it'd be 5 months in a row. So I thought, well, I'm going to go get some lunch, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to pray a little bit. But all of a sudden, I said, no, I'm going to fast lunch. And you know, it's hard to fast because I don't eat breakfast. I didn't eat lunch, and it's hard to do that. There's a lot of walking I have to do at Best Buy. But I fasted lunch, and I sat there in the parking lot of Belk and just got into a private area, and I just called out to God. And the Lord revealed a few things to me that he wants me to grow in, and he talked to me like a son and make a few changes in some of my life. And I'm not too old to make changes. Are you too old to make changes? And so there's some things he showed me. And I want you to know from that day to this day, buddy, it's been glory, glory all the way. And I want to give God the praise. Amen. Amen. I promise you, it's not a pride issue, but Richard Nelms, that's my name on the board. Richard Nems ought to be number one on every category because I want to use that as a way to witness, not to brag. People say, well, how are you doing so good? What's happened? Well, I'm working harder. I'm trying to adjust my technique. You know, I got to do natural things. But let me tell you something. When you walk in covenant with God and he talks to you, then there's some things you can only explain as a God thing. And two families were here from Best Buy Sunday, and that's really why I'm there. That's why you're at your job. You didn't get that job, Kyle, by an accident. There's some fellows you're going to be bringing into this church. Over at Zaxby's, there's a reason you're there, Brother David, and there's people that you're impacting. Amen. And when things aren't going right on the job, talk to your father about it. Walk in covenant with him, and we are blessed and highly favored. And this morning at 10 o'clock, I got there, and the computer fellow was not there. He didn't show up. He just didn't show up. So I saw this lady in computers, and I went to the restroom. I had to use the restroom, and I came back out. She was there, and I looked at her cart, had a $1,000 computer. I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, yeah, I need another one of these. I said, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Oh, so praise God. I had $6,000 on the board today. All I needed to do was $3,000. I just want to say praise God. Amen. Fasting one meal and making one or two little changes in my life, God has proven himself faithful. Amen. And I just appreciate the presence of the Lord, and God is good all the time. There's something else I wanted to talk about. I'll remember it halfway in this sermon. But thank you for Sunday, the two services. Some of you were here for the whole two services. And 213, that we went beyond the borders. Amen. And I really believe 213 is what we ought to be every Sunday. Amen. Every single Sunday. And you say, was it all about numbers? No, but remember, every number represents a soul that's being touched by Westmoreland Church. Amen. And I'd rather have 200 not going to hell than nobody, you know, everybody going to hell. Amen. And so God is good, and we're just believing God. That's revival. Did you enjoy that revival? Amen. Praise God. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I have been a pastor 20 years. I've had evangelists through the year. I've had Paul Jackson when I was here every year. We would have him. I've had Michael Ball the last few years when I was down at Smyrna. Stephen Hull came a couple of years. He did a great job. We had him scheduled last year, and the storm prevented us. But I'll tell you, Kenny Williamson, overall, let me tell you something. If you didn't get it last week, you ain't going to get it. You got sung to. You got played to. What if the preaching didn't get you, the piano playing should have got you. And if that didn't get you, the singing should have got you. And if that didn't get you, the spirit in the house should have got you. Amen. How many of you got blessed in one way last week at River? Well, give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Just go ahead and stand with me tonight. I'll figure out what it was I was supposed to say a little while later. Matthew chapter 26. This is somewhat going to tie in to two things. This is going to tie into the Easter, and it's also going to tie into the revival. And I want to preach to you tonight on a little farther. A little farther. Or another title, Brother Baker, if you want to put it up there, Going the Distance. How many of you want to go the distance with God? Amen. But I want you to look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. If you're there, would you say amen? Amen. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Remember, we're tying back to Easter. And said unto his disciples, you sit here, and I will go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now read those next words in verse 39. And he went a little farther. Say that with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Going a little further or going the distance. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of your word. Thank you for the revival. Thank you for the refreshing. Thank you, Lord, for what you have planned. And we're anticipating a mighty move of God and souls continuing to be saved and added to the church. And we'll give you all the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're looking pretty. And I want my wife, Darnell, I want you to sit right here at this front seat. And when I need this water, I want you to have it for me.
Don't mind.
So, Sister Darnell, when I need this water, I want you to just hand it to me.
All right. Do that.
You can go in a little further tonight. No, I don't need any right now. Amen. She's going the distance with me. Amen. I love those graphics Brother David puts up there. Amen. If he goes any further, he's Amen. You see, the story from which we read tonight is taken from the evening before Calvary. That sounds like a good title of a book, The Evening Before Calvary, where Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was not an accident that he chose the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means a place of pressing, or where the olives, it was an olive garden. We know the anointing oil comes from the pressing of the olives, but it was also a garden. How many of you know things grow in a garden? Amen. How many of you know that things get buried only to rise again in a garden? So listen, God puts us in a garden, you know, of Gethsemane. It's going to grow again. It's going to move. Amen, somebody. Praise God for the garden. Say that with me, the garden of Gethsemane. And you remember how that he brought along three of his most trusted disciples. He brought along his inner circle. He had three of his closest followers. And he invited them to pray with him on that night of all nights, the night of destiny. And you remember the events, how that as he prayed, he went back and discovered that they had fallen asleep. And he awoke them, and he asked them that great question in Matthew 26:40 that I don't have listed here. But in Matthew 26:40, he asked them a great question. Could you not tarry 1 hour? I'll tell you, that scripture is a powerful scripture on prayer. Every now and then, you need to take 1 hour and just pray. I know you can't do it every day, but maybe once a month or once every quarter. Take 1 hour. Can you not tarry? Open up your Bible and begin to call out to God, and I believe God will touch you. But he went back again, and he found them asleep again. And then finally, he came and woke them up, and the rest is his story or history. Amen? But I believe there's a truth and a principle tucked in our text tonight. I believe what I'm going to tell you tonight is the difference maker. I believe it is a secret. Listen, do you want that revival from last week to continue? Amen. The revival spirit is here. Kenny Williamson is gone. But I believe what we find in our text tonight is the secret to a lasting revival. It will change your world and it will change our world. And it's found, go back to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. It's found in verse 39. It says, and he went a little further. Say that with me. He went a little farther or further. You can use those words. I looked it up in the dictionary, further and farther. So if it bothers you either way, I'm going to use farther because that's what the King James says, but it implies further. The thing is that he went a little farther. And my friend, this was a pivotal moment in the life of Jesus. And it is not only a pivotal moment, it is a pattern that we should follow. He went a little farther. And I believe if there's ever a time, listen to me tonight, when radicals are rising and protesting in the streets, when Islam and ISIS is spreading, when churches are closing, when marriages are failing, when souls are dying, and when people come out of the closet, if there's ever a time for us to go to distance, if there's ever a time for us to go a little farther, I believe it is now. How many of you want to see your loved ones saved? How many of you want to see our country come back to God? How many of you want to see this revival continue and 200 here and 300 there? Don't say it can't be done. Don't say there's no hope. Don't say we might as well forget it. No, in times like this, let us go a little farther. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Turn around and tell somebody, I'm going to go a little further. Amen. A little further in prayer. Fasting one meal. I didn't fast 40 days. There's days to fast, 20 days. And I didn't fast even the whole day. That one meal, I went a little further. See, I could have easily eaten lunch, but I said, wait a minute. This is down to time. This is something got to happen. Got to have a breakthrough today. And God could have done it without me fasting. But at the same time, I believe fasting made the difference. Amen. I believe fasting pushed it over the edge. We need to go further in faith, further in dedication, further in worship, further in faithfulness. You see, when you go further, you see, there's four things I want to amplify from you about this moment in Jesus' life. When you go further, it entails four things. Are you ready for it tonight? Say amen. First of all, it entails separation. Somebody say separation. When Jesus went a little further, he was separated from his friends because he had Peter and James and John. He left them here to pray. He said, you stay here and pray. And then he went over here a little further, which means he had a separation. Amen. Now listen, it's true that they were close by, and it speaks of the value of friendship. And we do need good and godly friends. We need wholesome fellowship. We need people who will stand with us, people who will be prayer partners. People who will have our back. Disloyalty, I despise it. It's one of the worst things that could ever happen. But I want you to know that there are times when you come to a point where you separate all by yourself and you go a little farther in your walk. There comes a time when you just got to leave some others behind. Come on and wave them behind. Hey, what's the rest? That's it. Sometimes you got to say, kiss them goodbye, give them, blow them a kiss and say, the Lord watch between us. I'm going this way. Lot, if you want to go that way, go ahead. God's got something better for me. He is my provider. You choose. That's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We're going to go a little further. We might not keep up with the Joneses. We might be separate. And while they're out there in the world and stuff, where are you at? We're in revival. You take your kids on Tuesday night. Yes, we do. Because we're going a little further. Now, we live in a day where we don't like to be alone very long. Now, be honest. Some of us are like that. We live in a day where we're constantly connected to cell phones, the internet, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. But every now and then, God wants us to unlink and desires that we go a little further. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. So simple. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall do what? Reward thee openly. Times like Roman, look at Romans 16 and 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Oh, that's a whole another sermon for a whole another day. But the basic point is this. If there's somebody who's negative and critical and causing divisions, the best thing to do is just not get on the phone with them. Bless them. Love them. God bless you. See you coming, but I'm going to see you going. Amen. Can I get a witness out here? You know, wrong voices makes you make wrong choices. Amen. The Bible says, yield not your members as instruments of unrighteousness. When you get on that phone, you put that phone to your ear and you listen to church gossip and people running down the pastor or running down the church and running down all of this. You might not be doing it, but you sure are throwing fuel to the fire. There's a simple thing on the phone. It's called the hang up button. Amen. Are y'all with me here tonight? I know you, are you tired or you just don't like what I'm preaching? Times like 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We are a chosen few. And I'm not talking about being self-righteous. I'm not talking about that you're so holy you can't sit in the break room while they're talking maybe not so good talk in the break room. They're sinners. They're going to talk like sinners. But let me tell you, there comes a time when you shut the door, when you say, listen, I got to have some time with God. God wants to meet with me. I want you to know it's time to go a little further. I'm tired of the same old. I'm ready for Holy Ghost revival. I'm ready that God would rend the heavens. Thank God for what He did in the 50s and the 40s and the 70s. But I believe in the 2017s and beyond that God is still God. And if we'll just go a little further, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all that God wants to do. We actually made fun of this song. It became a funeral song, but I'm going to quote this song to you. But when I was growing up, my Aunt Lola, she was one of the godliest women you ever met, Lola Clack. She attended Rocky Mount Church, Living Faith. Danny Harris was her pastor, and she traveled the nations of the earth. She was Ann Baines' spiritual mother. Now, I want you to understand, you probably know Ann Baines a lot more, but what a lot of people don't realize is my Aunt Lola was her spiritual mother. My Aunt Lola was a godly woman, and she had a little garden out behind her house in Rocky Mount, and I always thought about her when I heard this song, I come to the garden while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice that I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God. Why in the world we have taken that song and made it a funeral song? Are you with me? It was never intended to be a funeral song. And He walks with me. And he what? Tells me that I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Verse 2, He speaks and the sound of, I can't sing, of His voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody He gave to me within my heart is ringing. Oh, that's powerful. We've got to separate. We've got to have a prayer closet. We've got to have some time with Jesus. You see, this doesn't mean we don't have fellowship. This doesn't mean we avoid evangelizing sinners or being a goody-two-shoe. I'm not talking about that. But let me give you a personal illustration in my life. When I came up into church and God had called me to preach, and I preached my first sermon. In fact, Kenny Williamson, I met him through the church that I preached my first sermon at, Westmount Emmanuel Holiness Church. And God had worked in my life, but my senior year, I lost a lot of weight. The girl that I had always wanted to be my girlfriend, they started attending the Emmanuel Holiness Church, and wildest dreams come true. I remember sitting in church one Sunday morning, and she looked at me and said, yes, she'd be my girlfriend, serious girlfriend. I'm telling you, I was on cloud. I wasn't very spiritual that day, I promise you. I'm going to tell you, we're human, amen. And so she and I, we started dating, and I was 18 years old. She's 18 years old, and I never believed, at that time, you were not supposed to go to the movies and be a part of Holiness Church. And I was staunch against movies, but I was so in love with her, we started going to movies. I'm not telling you it's wrong to go to movies, so don't say I said that. Another thing is, I never believed you should wear shorts. Brother, you're okay, now back then, anybody wearing shorts, it was really a bad thing in the Holiness Church. Now, there was a lot of legalism there, so please understand. But I started wearing shorts because I'd lost all this weight. And is anything wrong with wearing shorts? Not necessarily. I mean, if they're short, absolutely there's a problem with it. Come and get a witness out there. But there's another sermon for another day. But in all of that, I just began to lose what I was with the Lord. Are y'all with me here? Won't praying like I should. Was more involved in stuff and just all of that. And we went to East Carolina, and I joined the marching band. And I'll tell you, I got down there, East Carolina, and I should have been spiritually strong. And I'm telling you, it was something else. That's just all I got to tell you. And I was tempted. I'm just going to say I was tempted. All right, let's leave it at that. And me and my girlfriend were continuing to date until finally, I'm getting to this point. Finally, I thought, you know what? I need to get back with God. I backslid, quote unquote backslid, and I had. I may not have been all the way backslid in, but I was backslid from where I was. And I told my girlfriend, she said, well, we're going to go see a movie Friday night. I said, I'm not going to go see a movie. Well, what's wrong with a movie? I said, well, I want to give my life back to the Lord, and I just don't think going to movies is a good thing. Now, this is back then, and she got really upset about it. I mean, she said, well, you're trying to be blah, 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 blah. And we had a big argument about it. But let me tell you something. On that Friday night, she marched her little self down to see the movie. And I stayed in my dorm room all by myself. I didn't have a date that night. A Friday night at East Carolina University in Belt Dorm. You know what I did that night, Brother Tom? I'll tell you what I did. I just prayed. And I cried. And I said, Lord, I'd rather be with my girlfriend. But Lord, I want you in my life. Forgive me for straying. And I'm just telling you, there's going to come times in your life you're just going to have to get along with God. Brother, Dr. Nathan, you're going to have to tell the patients, I can't see you. You're going to have to tell the kids to stay with mom. You'll have to get back there on one of those beds, and you'll have to lay down like a patient yourself and say, Lord, touch me and move up and down. You know, just like, are you with me? All right. Oh, somebody shout a little further. Amen. And it was that dorm room, not probably 8 weeks later, I was laying on the bed in that dorm room. I had just taken my first exam. I came back to the dorm room, and in that dorm room, God said, I've given you a pastor's heart. He called me to be a pastor from that place. Can I get a witness? Amen. So, number one, if we're going to go to distance, it's going to talk about separation sometimes. Can I get an amen? And number two, it's going to be an element of contention. Because do you think you're going to go to distance? Do you think you're going to go further and the devil not throw everything he's got to you? That's why Jesus wept so hard. He was under spiritual warfare. You see, when you're making a stride to God, all hell is going to throw everything to you. Amen. Satan was battling with Jesus. There was a battle raging when Jesus went a little further. This is what Paul experienced very quickly. 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. In other words, I'm moving forward, I'm going through, I'm going the distance, I'm going further, but there's a lot of adversaries. Notice 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again. What's that last thing say? But Satan hindered us. Do you think that you're going to live for God and Satan not try to hinder you? We're not ignorant of his devices. There's contention. It's not easy to go a little further. Amen. We've got to stand our ground. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall and everyone to his work. Thank God for Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, we're going the distance. Nehemiah said, we're going to build the wall around our wives, around our children, around the temple of the Lord. And I know the devil's trying to fight. And I know Sanballat, and that's in the book of Nehemiah. Oh, Sanballat and his crew's trying to stop us and contend us. But we're not coming down from that wall. We've got a hammer in one hand and a sword of the Lord in the other hand. We're building and we're battling and we're going further and we're going to win the victory. And we're already, and Brother Kenny preached it, to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on everlasting life. We've already won the war. If you're going to go further, give him a hand of praise here tonight. I'm glad I broke up with that girl. God is good all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be a fight. Don't be caught off guard when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raises a standard. The third element of going the distance or going further is resolution. Jesus resolved. Somebody say, I'm resolved. That settles it. You can go over here and fall asleep if you want to. You can do what you want to do. The devil, you can fight if you want to. But I am resolved that I am going further. He kept going back to his inner circle. And he was disappointed. But he was resolved to go a little further. Now I want to give you, to amplify this thought, story of two men. And I asked Brother David to, if you could find, if you couldn't find. The first one I want to talk to you about is a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards. There he is. This man brought the greatest revival ever to America. Its effects last to this day. He spent 13 hours a day in his study. He had 13 children, so don't think he, and this is back in the 1720s, 1730s, 1740s, so life was not easy. He pastored the Northampton Church, not far from Boston. I'd like to go there one day, Darnell, if you don't mind. And he preached a sermon that when he preached it, people passed out. People began to shriek in horror, because the anointing was so strong on it, and multitudes got saved from his church. The title of his sermon was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, I know that's not very Joel Osteen-like. I mean, come on. But let me tell you something. It worked. And it had love in it. And it had love in it. But he really preached. But he moved this country. If you go to any history, if you go to East Carolina, as godless as they are in the history department, they'll admit that this man did something for the country. But let me tell you what happened. Early in his life, he made 70 resolutions. If you could Google it, the 70 resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. I'm going to just read a few of them. The very first resolution he made, he said, resolved that I will do whatever I think to be most to God's glory, my own good, profit, and pleasure, in the whole of duration, without any consideration of time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence, resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty, and most for the good and advantage to mankind in general, resolved to do this, whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great soever. That's very wordy. But here's another thing. He said, resolution number 5, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I can. He said, number 17, I'm resolved that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I came to die. In other words, I'm resolved that I'm going to live right now as if I'm going to die right now. And that way, if I wind up having to die, I don't have to think, oh, no, I'm scared. You know, I'm ready to die. That's a good resolution. That way you don't fuss with your wife and amen and 3 days and don't speak to each other. Can I get a witness out there? That way you don't march out of church because they didn't sing your favorite song. Can I get a witness out there? Or you didn't get the certain thing that you wanted. Oh, I'm meddling now. Number 30, resolve to strive to be my utmost every week, to be brought higher in spiritual experience, to a higher degree of grace than I was the week before. He said, number 40, and the last one I'm going to read. I'm resolved to inquire every night before I go to sleep whether I have acted in the best way I possibly could with respect to eating and drinking. Wow. That's just a few of 70 resolutions that he made. He is resolved to love God, resolved not to sin through God's grace, resolved to read his word, resolved to love people. You read those 70 resolutions. It's a little wordy, but you'll get the spirit of a man who went the distance. And you know, we have, and I don't mean this wrong, but we have very shallow Christianity today. Sometimes we as pastors, we have to break it down so easy for people, or else they'll just kind of fall away. But where or when can we get people to a point where they're deeper in the Lord, strong in the Lord, where they say like Paul, none of these things move me, where I am resolved to carry my cross like Job, if he slays me, yet will I trust him. If I am blessed, fine, but if I go through a trial, God will see, I am resolved. Somebody say hallelujah tonight. And then, and by the way, he said his last resolution was remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Then the next man, very quickly, was a man by the name of John Wesley. He asked himself 20 questions every day. He asked himself these questions every day. Number one, am I conscious? I'm not going to read them all. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Number two, do I confidently pass on to others what has been said to me in confidence? Number three, can I be trusted? Number four, am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habit? You know, we might could be a slave to some of those things. We're concerned about that we coordinate, you know, we got the right color, we got the right size. But if we don't have the juicy fruit of the Spirit, amen? Then what's all the dress good for? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Listen, he asked this question. Did the Bible live in me today? Am I enjoying prayer? When did I last speak to someone else of my faith? I'm not going to read all these. How do I spend my spare time? Am I proud? Do I thank God that I'm not as other people like the Pharisees who despise the publican? In other words, am I self-righteous? Am I jealous, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Woo-hoo-hoo! Do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? Do I grumble or complain constantly? And the last one, is Christ real to me? Say that with me. Is Christ real to me? You say, well, what about old John Wesley? Let me tell you something. He turned the world upside down. He preached to England, and he preached in America and Georgia and the colonies. He preached Jesus. People would fall out he would preach at open air meetings, and people would flock to be saved. And he founded the Methodist Church, which eventually through Methodism, he taught sanctification, the second definite work of grace. And later on, the Pentecostal Holiness Church came out of Methodism. I want you to know something. Something happens when we get resolved that we are going to go a little further. Can I get an amen? Now, in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 18, here's another example. I told you about Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley. Somebody say amen. Now, I know you were kind of going to sleep when I went over those because it's not exciting. But let me tell you about the guy in 2 Kings 13. This is the king is at the deathbed of the prophet. In verse 18, he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, smite them on the ground, and he smote them three times and stopped. The man of God was wroth with him and said, you should have smitten five or six times. Then Syria would have been utterly consumed. Let's see. I'll just use this for an example. This is an arrow. This is Lawrence Welk. Somebody said that to me after church first service. Said, brother, Ricky, you reminded me of Lawrence Welk. Anyway, but I know Kyle and Beth has no idea who Lawrence Welk is, I mean. But just go to YouTube and enter Lawrence Welk and you'll see who I'm talking about. But this is, I'm going to give you, this is not an arrow, but the man of God says, take the arrow and smite it on the ground. And Lord, I don't want to use the Bible. What can I use? Use the pulpit? Well, it's glass and I don't want to mess up the glass. Okay. Here's how he did. He went. So like some of you do when we say, raise your hands and praise the Lord. You're like. I'll be there, preacher, but I ain't making no commitments. You know. What the prophet really wanted him to do, Brother Doug, was this. I'm going to do it hard. You see, it showed his spirit. He had that. Brother, sister, these are not the times to be. This is wickedness on every hand. There's an enemy called Syria out there. There is a devil out there. And brother and sister, we need to be resolved. Come on. Smite the arrow. Go ahead. Take it. Smite that arrow. Come on. Do it. Praise God. I'm going to smite the arrow. I'm going to smite the arrow with my praise, with my worship, until God turns it around. Somebody say amen. Amen. And do you remember Rebecca? I just threw this in last night. I knew I had a little extra time. Normally, I wouldn't preach this long. But go to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 17. Rebecca is a single woman. And she doesn't know it, but a man is being sent from Abraham to find a bride for her, his son. And so Abraham is around the well, and this man is needing some assistance. And so look at Genesis chapter 24, verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray, drink a little water of thy pitcher. So he's asking Rebecca for some water. He's never met her. She's never met him. She doesn't know it, but he's looking a bride. And she also doesn't know it, that that bride is very wealthy. This is a very, sometimes things happen when you don't think they're happening. Always honor people. Always go the extra mile. Always try to do, because you never know when you think, I'm just cutting on the lights at the church today. I'm just running the sound system today. You're never just doing anything. Because one day somebody's going to watch it and see it. And notice what it said, verse 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted. And she let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him to drink. Now look at verse 19. And when she had done giving him to drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Oh, can I get, thank you, sister. Amen. Do you know how, it's one thing to give a man something to drink. But listen, I've only seen a few camels in my lifetime. But the camels that I have seen at the zoo, them things are big. And I'm sure they didn't have just one. They probably had about 15 or 20 of them. And I'm sure those camels, I know they can hold a lot of water, but he'd been on a long journey and they were probably pretty thirsty. And I don't know, Rebecca was probably a strong woman, but she was not a man. I'm just putting it to you that way. But she took the effort to feed those camels. Camel number one, you're good. Camel number two, you're all right. Let's make sure camel number three, it had to take a few hours. She had to get sweaty. Her makeup probably ran. Her hair got messed up. She got dusty. And she probably never had any idea that that man was looking for a bride. She thought, my goodness, if I knew I'm trying to be a bride, I would have dressed up. You see, God ain't concerned about how we dress up sometimes in that sense. We should dress that well. But let me tell you what he sees is those who are willing to go just a little further. Somebody say these words after me. And then some. Say it again. And then some. And the secret of success can be found in these three words. And then some. In fact, that's the way it is in business. Amen. Best Buy is not going to stay open if we just keep up with another retailer because they're going to wind up outdoing us. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going a little further. It requires four things. Are you with me? Somebody say separation. Somebody say contention. Somebody say resolution. The final thing that going a little further entails, here's the good part, is impartation. Because look what happened in Luke chapter 22, verse 43. Y'all there, say amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 43. Read it with me. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So he kept the picture. He's left these over here praying. He's left them there. He wanted them to stay awake, but they kept falling asleep. So he went a little further, got him a cup of water from his wife. Thank you, dear. And he went on a little further. He went the distance. Say amen. And Pastor Jerry, I'm going to use you like Jesus. And just kind of act like you're praying. Hold your hand up like you're praying. Just kind of act like it. Yes, like that. And all of a sudden, he's gone a little further. His eyes are closed. He's sweating great drops of blood, but he feels something. Can you go back to that scripture I just read? And it says there was an angel that showed up. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. While he went a little further, while he was bearing the load, he was not alone. Heaven stepped up. Heaven showed up. The glory of the Lord was there. God said, keep on, I'm with you. Keep on, I'm going to make a way where there seemed to be no way. Oh, thank God, when you go the distance, you're not going alone. Somebody's going to be there touching you. The anointing will show up. The Holy Ghost will show up. God will work. Signs and wonders will be done. I wish somebody would give him a hand of praise tonight and say, I'm going a little further. You'll get an impartation of God's touch, of God's grace, of victory. Do you really think, by the way, those of you who just came in, the title of the sermon tonight is A Little Further, where it said Jesus went a little further to pray. In fact, I've also subtitled it Going the Distance. And I told you that if you're going to go a little further, you're going to have separation. Sometimes you've got to get away from your friends, get off the cell phone. Sometimes it's going to take contention. The devil's going to fight. And then it's going to take resolution. Number three, you've got to be resolved. I'm going all the way. And then finally, hallelujah, here we are. You get that impartation. Glory to God. Because when Jesus went a little further, he looked up and there was an angel strengthening him and blessing him. And I don't know, but I believe in that parking lot at Belk. When I was fasting and praying, I didn't see the angel, but I really didn't feel a whole lot. But I'm sure if we go back, when I get before God, God's going to show, son, I showed up in that Lincoln Town car and I strengthened you and you went on that day and I worked and I moved. Because do you think when you go a little further, God's going to sit back and say, okay? No, the Bible says draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. When you go a little further, when you go the distance, God is not going to sit by. He will meet us. He will touch us. He will bless us. Listen, it's really your move. Amen. Somebody say amen tonight. It's your move. Does anybody want to go the distance tonight? Hallelujah. We can't sit by while ISIS goes the distance and say what you want to say, but House Bill 2, people decided they were going to defeat that. And very powerful people were lobbied by very ungodly people, and that thing went down. And I got sick of seeing the news, and I said, they can keep the NCAA, they can keep the ACC, they can keep the NBA. I don't care. It's to their peril. The last 3 years, there was a North Carolina team in the national championship. Duke won in 2015. I had to throw that in. Oh, somebody say amen. Carolina just won. Amen. That's what I mean. He went a little further. Amen. A.W. Tozer says, this is the heavenly birth, talking about being saved, without which we cannot see the kingdom of God. It is, however, not an end, but an inception. For now begins the glorious pursuit, the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Godhead. That is where we begin, I say. But where we stop, no man has yet discovered. For there is in the awful and mysterious depths of the triune God neither limit nor end. Would you stand with me tonight? Do you want this revival that we just had to go a little further? Hallelujah. Brother Clark, if you'll come. I come to the... Do you know that song? The garden alone, where the... I come, garden alone. We've made that song into a funeral song, but it's not a funeral song. The roses and the voice that I hear, and the voice I hear falling on my ears. The Son of God,
Son of God,
is close. And he tells me
I am
his own. And the joy
that we share
as we tarry there, none other. Brother Blue, do y'all have that song back there? Okay. Just sing the chorus again. And he walks with me.
With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me
come on, lift your hand and sing it tonight. And the joy that we share, tarry there, none other has ever. He speaks and the sound of his voice. It's so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me, within my heart is singing, within my heart.
Singing.
I want you to step out of your seat and join me at the front. Let's close in prayer tonight. How many of you want to go to distance? How many of you want to go a little further for the rest of this year? In your life, in your business, in your devotion, in your resolution. Come on, step out of your seat and let's close.
And the joy we share as we tend.
Don't let anybody bother you. Don't let anybody keep you back. Amen. Verse 3. I'd stay in the garden with him. Though the night around me. You to bow your heads.